In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What kind of music do you like? Me, I tend towards the classics. That's classic rock, like the Beatles, the Who, and Led Zeppelin. I also appreciate the other kind of classics, Bach, Beethoven, and Wagner. Does anyone here like rap music? I have to confess, I'm not a big fan of rap music myself. So I really did surprise myself when a couple weeks ago, I listened to a rap album twice and was enthralled by it. The rapper goes by the name of Flame. He is a Missouri Synod Lutheran. Hard to believe, I know, but it's true. Flame did an entire album about baptism. He began by rapping the classic Lutheran hymn, God's Own Child, I gladly say it. Then he goes on to explore the biblical and theological foundation of baptism in several songs. I never thought I would hear a lyric like this in a rap song. Baptismal regeneration. Irenaeus taught it. Athanasius taught it because Jesus taught it. But whoomp, there it is. Between some of the songs, Flame would read verbatim from Luther's Small Catechism. Having been touched by the flame, and given that we have a baptism this Sunday, I thought it might be a good week to stray from the assigned readings a bit and concentrate on the topic of baptism. Especially, I'd like to focus on infant baptism. From the time of the apostles, the first century AD, to the time of the Reformation, the 16th century AD, adults converting to Christianity and the children of Christians were baptized. It was not up until the time of Martin Luther that some of what we call the radical reformers took their criticisms of the medieval church too far and started going in unwarranted, unbiblical directions with aberrant practices. They imagined that they knew more than what had been taught in the church for 15 centuries. The radical reformers rejected infant baptism. They said that children should not be baptized because they cannot have faith. They said that one should wait until he can understand sinning grace before being baptized. This was called the age of accountability, a term never found in the Bible. With no biblical references, ages of accountability were usually set by different communities from ages 8 to 13. And the radical reformers said that those who had been baptized as infants needed to be rebaptized. That earned them the name Anabaptists, meaning rebaptizers. We Lutherans, along with other traditional churches such as the Orthodox, the Roman Catholics, and the Anglican communions, consider baptism to be a sacrament. For us, a sacrament is an action commanded by Christ in the Bible, where a visible physical element is used to convey an unseen spiritual grace. We say that God is truly present in the water of holy baptism, just as he is present in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. In baptism, God claims us as his own children forever. We become children of God and inheritors of eternal life. The radical reformers and Anabaptists didn't look at things quite that way. For them, baptism was just a symbol. God is not present there in any unique way, they say. Rather, baptism is a gift rather than saying that baptism is a gift that God gives to us to create faith, for them, baptism is something that we do to demonstrate our faith. Oddly, the heirs of the radical reformers, many of today's evangelical Protestants, insist that baptism must be done by immersion. That's something else that can't be deduced from Scripture. And an early Christian handbook on the practice of the faith, written right after the New Testament was written, specifically says that baptism doesn't have to be immersion. But if baptism is just an empty symbol, what difference does it make how or at what age it's done? Or, as I sort of mockingly ask, are they saying that if you don't do baptism right, it won't do what it's supposed to do, and it really doesn't do anything anyway? That's the end of my polemical rant. Let's look now at some of the biblical texts that teach us about infant baptism, or as Flame says, there's precedent in the New Testament. One such text is the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Jesus tells us to baptize nations. Do children get counted in the census? Do nations include children? Of course they do. We baptize children as Jesus commanded us, and then we teach them all that Jesus commanded. That's how we make disciples the biblical way. We see baptisms of whole households, including infants, in the book of Acts. In chapter 16, a woman named Lydia is baptized with all of her household, we are told. In chapter 18, a man named Crispus and his household all come to believe in Jesus, that is, to have faith in him. And then we read that many Corinthians, implying Crispus and his family, as well as others, were baptized. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says that he baptized the whole household of Stephanas. Are children part of a household? When you buy food for your household, does that include the children? If I was giving $10,000 to each member of your household, would you want your children included? Or would you say, no, they're too young to understand money, don't share your gift with them? Of course not. You wouldn't say that. You know you wouldn't. Obviously, children are part of a household, and children were baptized from the very beginning of Christianity. Getting back to Jesus' ministry, in Matthew 19, Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." In a culture that didn't have much use for children, Jesus not only gave attention to children, he loved them. He valued them. The disciples would have shooed the children away, but Jesus welcomed them, and he still does. How can children experience Jesus today? Since he ascended into heaven, Jesus can't take them up in his arms as he once did. But children can experience Christ through baptism. How do they become part of the kingdom of heaven that Jesus says belongs to them? They join it by baptism. There they receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus says something really challenging to us adults. He said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. "Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." Jesus said that children, in fact, have a stronger, purer faith than we adults. Children are models of faith for us. Can that really be? I can only speak out of my own experience. When I was a child, my mother taught me that Jesus loved me, and I didn't question it. My mother said it, I believed it. A lot of people in my family had severe phobias about thunderstorms, but I wasn't afraid. They asked me why. I said, "Well, my Sunday school teacher said that Jesus stilled a storm." Didn't question that either. And when we celebrated Jesus rising from the dead at Easter, I didn't doubt it. Pastor said it, I believed it. It was only when I got older that I started to question what I had been taught. Sometimes I doubted the biblical narratives, and I would look for loopholes in Scripture to get out of its moral and ethical demands. I wish that I could get back to that simple, trusting faith of a child. Maybe you do too. That's the faith that Jesus wants for us. And if I have to understand sin and grace perfectly to be baptized, then I never should have been baptized. But Jesus gives us that gift. If we have any lingering doubts about children having faith, even infants, even younger than infants, consider this. In Luke chapter 1, John the Baptist, in his mother's womb, in utero, unborn, leaped inside his mother when she was greeted by the Virgin Mary while she was carrying the baby Jesus in her womb. What could you consider John's response except faith? That infant Jesus was born and grew and died on the cross and rose again so that we could have faith, so that we could have salvation. And the assurance of that for us is our baptism. Amen.